There are numerous books written about parenting, but few about the relationship between parents and their adult children. Mother-daughter duo Lisa Scottolini and Francesca Serratella have teamed up to write a series of books with essays from their lives, both living together and apart. The most recent is Meet Me at Emotional Baggage Claim. And Lisa and Francesca join us on the phone from their homes in Philadelphia and New York. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having us. We're excited.
Yeah, we're very happy to be here.
I love the Kirkus review said about you, Irma Bombeck for mothers and daughters with a zesty Italian twist.
We're so delicious.
So, Lisa, you're a best-selling author of novels, and many readers might be familiar with your series of thrillers, the Rosato and Associates series. But the books that you've written with Francesca are collections of personal essays. So where did the idea come from to team up and write about your real lives?
Well, honestly, we're both very honored by the comparison to Irma Bombeck, and she was partly the inspiration because we write these columns for a Philadelphia Inquirer called Chick Lit. And I've sort of always been in my novels, starting 20 years ago and 20 novels ago, kind of known for having strong, funny, independent women main characters. And I would say to myself, well, I'm kind of that, and my daughter's kind of that, and my mother's kind of that. And so these books were born. This is Meet Me at Emotional Baggage Claim is, I think, the fourth. And the fifth is coming out this summer. Have a nice guilt trip. Francesca thinks of the title.
And your books really open the door on your lives. Perhaps that's what makes them so popular. Readers begin to feel as though they know each of you personally. So before embarking on this writing project, did you set ground rules on topics or things that you would or would not include?
Oh, no. It's no holds barred. You know, my mom always has taught me that if it doesn't make you cringe a little bit when you're writing about it, you're probably not really being vulnerable enough. I mean, you have to open yourself up, especially in humor. Like, the joke's on us, and we really try to put everything out there, whether I'd like it or not.
And I think that's really well said, because I think, you know, there was one point when I was writing something about when I found my first gray chin hair, and I thought to myself, I'm turning into an Amish man. And I said, you know, you've got to write that. And Francesca said, my God, that's so...
Right, I was like, please, no, you're single, don't do that. But that's funny.
And meanwhile, TMI is our stock in trade. Because the truth is, unless you're writing something really true and really, as she said, that makes you cringe, it's not going to be funny or new,
yeah.
You know,
or relatable. Yeah,
hairs isn't really enough. It has to be truer than that,
right.
And that's what we do.
So, have either of you written something that you thought might be difficult for the other to read?
Every time.
Huh. Well, I think truthfully, anything we write about each other, there's no way it's worse than something we've said. I mean, and not like. Even just, you know, we are very open with each other. This we get to have fun with these essays and in these books, and we certainly do goof on each other, but our relationship is like that in real life. So it's just opening ourselves up in a natural way for us.
All right, so you're...
And I also think that, just to add that, you know, part of the inspiration for these books was that we really are best friends. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't fight. All mothers and daughters fuss. But I really thought that there is an absolute dearth in the culture of positive images of mothers and daughters that are real. It's not saccharine and it's not sugar-coated. It's really real, but it's loving and it's deep and it's close. So we write a lot about, for example, I think Francesca is very frank about that I can be a little overprotective. You know, like the time she goes on a date and I text her like every 3 minutes. Now, if I don't hear from her by a certain time, you know, like 11 o'clock at night, and she's on a date with first time, with, you know, I'm going to worry. And I think if I write about that truly, and she does too, even though we're like, oh, God, people identify with it because that's a very typical experience of mothers and daughters.
Right. And so in the book we taught, the latest one, Meet Me at Emotional Baggage Claim, one of the essays, Francesca, is titled Hang Ups. Would you read the beginning of that for us?
Sure, I will. Last night, I hung up the phone on my mother. Now, that sounds harsh, but you should know I employed our modified hang-up, the one we use when we're angry but still have the presence of mind to keep some perspective. It goes something like this. Ugh, I'm hanging up, but I love you. only I say it in the span of 1 second. So it sounds like, I'm hanging up, but I love you. Clint. My mom trained me to do this at a young age. If we were arguing and I tried to storm out, she'd remind me that one of us could die at any moment. The last words we say to each other should be, I love you. In Italian, the word for love is guilt. I'm not proud of hanging up on my mother. I apologized later, but it happens. Every mother-daughter relationship has logged some hang-ups on phone record. It's not the most enlightened behavior, but when an argument gets out of control, it's better to end the conversation before it gets uglier. I mean, but I still want the last word. Who am I, Mother Teresa? Even she was Daughter Teresa at one point.
And I also have Mother Mary in the
other. That's so great. I'm sorry, I can't help it. That's funny.
Have a nice guilt trip. You dedicate the book to Mother Mary, and the homely remedies. I can see myself with the Vicks vapor. I mean, there's some of a certain age that we grew up with that, and you're laughing right along with these experiences that you had with your mother being right.
Well, thank you for that, because, you know, asking about these domestic details, that's how I always think of it. And, you know, in Francesca's essay, that's so perfect, you know, kind of like, gee, hanging up on your mother. I mean, I was like, whoa. But, you know, if you don't write it down and record it, or the stuff that my mother told me, sadly, she passed last month, you know, but like Vicks VapoRub, and I think I said in that essay, you know, I felt half the time there was so much Vicks VapoRub on my chest, I felt like a stripper. Like, I was very shy. Like, it's weird. But I must tell you, the number of letters we get about that Vicks VapoRub, because every mother of a certain age did that to every daughter of a certain age. And you know what? I did it to Francesca, too, and I'm proud of it.
And let's not forget the humidifier, too, right?
Oh, so key. Humidifiers are key. Cool mist, hot mist, whatever. It's highly technical, but you need it.
Yeah, but now when you go to the store now and the pharmacist tells you that's what you need to do, you go, what?
Yeah, I know.
All right. So as we said,
open a window. But yeah. Go ahead.
As we said earlier, your books chronicle stories from your lives, both together and apart. So describe your writing process. Do either of you keep a journal? How does this work?
Well, I can answer quickly. I mean, I don't keep a journal. I do. What's interesting about it is you end up observing your life a lot more acutely. So there'll be a moment where I'll go, that's a column. And we write the column separately. And so I just start writing it.
Yeah, I just try to think of whatever story that week that I told my girlfriends over dinner to make them laugh. Because really, like, people think that they're not funny or they think it's hard to be funny in writing. But when you think of a bunch of women getting together over drinks, everyone is cracking up. My girlfriends are funnier than any comedian I see. So whatever I try to tell them to make them laugh, I know that's the story that will be a good piece. And for as far as my mom and I writing together, you know, it's really safest that we do it separately across speed lines and then just have to put them together. So it's nice that we each can have our own unique voice, which I think you'll hear in the books read as a whole.
Right.
Yep. Right. And then it is funny when you compile them in a book because, you know, there was one when I wrote an essay about how I love to read the obituaries and I look at the age, sadly, of people passing and I kind of count backwards, how much time do I have? And when we put the books together, Francesca had written an essay about how she reads the wedding announcements, and she looks at the age, and she goes, okay, well, I'm still single. You know, how much time do I have?
We both need to calm down, you especially, but we both need to not worry so much.
Now,
it's real.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anybody who reads an obituary and isn't thinking that, or a wedding announcement and isn't thinking that.
Well, it is real, and not everything, like, we're reading along, and it may not... It's funny now, but it may not have been funny at the time. So, is this humor? Is it later after the, you know, whatever the incident may be that you write and you go, oh, this is funny, but at the time maybe it wasn't funny, or is it always funny?
I think it's kind of. Yes, you can answer, Francesca, but I think it's kind of always funny. I think I tend to.
I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I think a lot of, what is that famous quote? Tragedy plus time equals comedy. So, I mean,
right.
It certainly depends. But I do think it's knowing that in our back pocket that we get to have this fun outlet to write about these, it does end up being the silver lining to any frustrating situation. You know, if it's not a downright tragic situation, if it's just you're waiting on the phone endlessly with the cable company, you know, oh, I'm going to get them back for this. I'm a writer. I'm going to get them for this. So, you know, it's in that way. But yeah, sometimes it does take a little more time for me.
Well, I guess it also speaks to your perspective on things. You both have this way of looking at the, you know, positive side of things.
Well, also that humor is a kind of a really good coping mechanism. I mean, we probably learned that from Mother Mary, my mother, Francesca's grandmother. Even when she was in hospice at my house, Francesca was here. We were all gathered around her. That was as dire as it gets. But truly, there was a lot of humor in that. And in fact, somebody said to her, how do you feel? And she said, aside from the cancer, I'm fine. Mm. And look, that's funny.
Yeah.
And it's okay to laugh.
You edited that. I think she said, aside from all this crap, I'm doing fine.
So yes, exactly.
Really, she had a great sense of timing. And I do think she taught us that lesson. My mom's absolutely right that there's always a humorous side, if not necessarily a brighter side, a funnier side.
Now, both of you are animal lovers with a special fondness for dogs. They're part of your family. One of your dogs was Lucky Penny, a golden retriever who died at the age of 13. Lisa, you wrote about her death in the book Have a Nice Guilt Trip. Would you read part of that essay?
For sure I would. Little Miss Penny, we miss her. Okay, here we go. In some ways, Penny was the hardest dog to lose, not only because she was the last, but also because she was the baby of the family, born in this house. The smallest of Lucy's puppies in a litter of nine. Penny was the scrappy runt who grew into a charmer. Her full name was Lucky Penny, and her passing is the end of an era. Losing Penny taught me that we love a dog for her own sake, but we also associate them with the times of our lives, and so their loss brings into relief our own passage of time. The golden years were Francesca's coming of age and my 40s and early 50s, my coming of middle age. Somewhere in between these wonderful dogs was a disastrous second divorce, so that my memory of that time is one of happy golden retrievers and an atomic bomb. And now, happily and sadly, all that is past. I don't mind getting older. Actually, I love it. What I mind is losing things I love. I love and hate surviving, which is the ultimate lesson after all. Loss is part of life and becomes more so as we grow older. Life contains the bitter and the sweet, and eventually itself becomes bittersweet. Still, I'll take it. I'm a lucky penny.
Mm, that's very sweet.
Aww.
Yeah, that's a tough, the dogs become so much a part of our families. It's a hard thing to let go and say goodbye.
Right, and the cats, too. We're lousy with pets and chickens, and we even have ponies and horses. So we have lots of animal ashes. In my office right now, I'm a little moss cemetery over there.
Oh, boy.
That's exactly right.
I have to say, Francesca, there was the story Baby Fever cracked me up because this was really,
oh my gosh.
And this is one I identified with going back to years before I was married and had our daughter, is I had a dog I was very close to. And same thing, the dog is, it's like your child, is everything. And, until you get married and you have real kids and then, then they sort of take the back seat. But it's like you're going, maybe I'm not maternal, but the dog is your baby.
It's so true. I'm cradling the dog on my lap right now. No joke. yes, I'm definitely staving off whatever biological clock neuroses women my age get affected with because I have a baby. He's my baby dog. It's not. In contrast, I have five dogs, and I'm hiding in my office from them because I know this is a very big, important interview, and they're going to bark right at the wrong time and embarrass me. So... She's a better mother than I am, really. She raised her dog.
So you're both coming to the Nantucket Book Festival, June 20th through the 22nd. I'm sure you're excited about that.
So excited. We'll be on the 21st, and we'd love it if anybody wants to come. Francesca went to Harvard, so she's kind of a little bit Boston ties. But for me, this is like, I'm off the reservation.
So what's next? You already have another book that you've been working on that's going to come out that you mentioned. You're just going to keep going?
Yes, I mean, I feel really happy and lucky to be doing that. And I think it's sort of, the books are an examination of our lives, and we just had a huge life event in losing my mother. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of amazing the outpouring we've heard from people about how much they loved her as a character and how much they remind them of their own mother. So I think how we look going forward will be different than it was. And I think we'll be examining that and also looking at the light side of all kinds of things, like carbs, There'll be the bitter and the sweet. Honestly, there will be.
See, you don't need therapists. You've got you've got this outlet to examine, what you do, what you think.
Well,
sometimes when I write about a column about a relationship or something, though, it's great. I get email that has the from people and readers who are giving me advice, and sometimes it's really good advice. I'm like, you're right. I should talk like that. It's just one big therapy session, yes.
Right. Lisa. Well, that's the thing about books. I mean, I've always believed they really connect people. And so, in a way, it doesn't matter whether it's nonfiction or fiction. If you're telling it truly, it will connect. And that's why, you know, I mean, I think therapy is a great thing, but I don't feel like I need it anymore because we have these wonderful connections, and I feel really lucky in that, and I know Francesca does too.
Yeah. Lisa Scatolini and Francesca Serratella, they team up to write about their lives. Most recent book, Meet Me at Emotional Baggage Claim. Thanks so much for being with us, and have fun in Nantucket.
We will.
Thanks so much
for having us.